Well, good morning. Did you slip slide a little this morning? It is pretty, though. And the Lions play today. We get to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah. Hey, can I tell you a fact about life? And it's true for all of us. It's true for every person you know. Nobody plans to mess their life up. True? Nobody ever plans to mess their life up. Nobody says, you know what, my 5-year plan? Run my life off in the ditch, crash and burn financially, get divorced one day, have adult kids that don't want to spend any time with us. That's my plan. But yet people's lives, many of them, are messed up. Nobody plans it, but it happens. And you know what's interesting? What's interesting to me is we see somebody who's crashed and burned, and it's interesting how bystanders, people that really don't know, will kind of summarize their whole life in one sentence. We'll be like, yeah, I heard she went back to her addiction and her husband and kids left her. There's a lot that happened in there, right? But yeah, that's what happened. Oh, yeah, did you hear about Bob? Bob had a heart attack. He's been overweight pretty much most of his life. He finally had a heart attack, gone. But in between that, there's a lot of steps that were taken, right? There's a lot of steps typically between where I am and then my life being a mess. We take a lot of steps in between, but nobody plans to mess up their life, but a lot of people get there. You know how people mess their lives up? One bad decision, one wrong step, and a stack of harmful habits over time is how you mess a life up. I'm going to show you today from Scripture an example, a character in the Bible. This guy, you might be able to guess who he is. He had amazing hair. He was very, very strong. He was very, very prominent in the community. Everybody knew about him. But yet this guy, he ends up losing his eyesight. They're gouged out of his eyes. His hair gets cut. He loses all of his strength. And he messed his life up. Who are we talking about? Samson. Samson, the big giant Samson. And you know what? You know how Samson messed his life up? He didn't do it all at once. How did he do it? He did it one bad decision, one wrong step after another wrong step, and one habit after another over time. He didn't mess it all up at once. Just some healthy, unhealthy decisions. We're going to look at Judges chapter 16, if you'll take out your note sheets. Remember how I told you can make all these wrong steps, all these bad habits over time, and people will summarize your life maybe in one step or in one sentence, one little slogan? I'm just going to share with you one slogan about Samson in Judges chapter 16, verse 1. Here's what it says. One day, Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. There's a bad step. One day he made what was a first bad decision, and I'm sure then he made some other bad decisions that led to ongoing habits, which over time led to a life of destruction. That's what happened to Samson. And you can read history. You can find out where he was born, where he traveled to. He was born in Zorah, and he traveled down to Gaza. Now, you and I, without researching that, you really don't realize how many bad steps he took to get to this prostitute. But if you do your homework and you do some history, you're going to find that this guy that was prominent, that was strong, that was people looked up to, not just because he was tall, but because of his relationship with God and all that he had done, he goes to enemy territory. Enemy territory where he was the number one sought-after enemy. They knew he was an enemy. And yet he did all of that. Why? Because he chased a prostitute. You know how far it is from Zora to Gaza? You know what I mean? It's 25 miles. You know how many steps they say it takes you average to walk 25 miles? About 26,250 steps. Samson didn't take one bad step. He took 26,520 steps, step by step, step by step, 25 miles. 56,250 steps. No one plans to mess up their life, but they do it. We do it by one step at a time. No one starts out saying, you know what we want to do when we get married? We hope to be married 30 or 40 years, and for 30 or 40 years, we'd love to live paycheck to paycheck for 35 years. Wouldn't that be cool? Nobody says, you know, I want to struggle with my health, with my weight, my whole life. That's what I'd like to do. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great, honey, if when our kids, we finally get them out of the house and they never want to come back for Christmas? Nobody does that. We're in a message series called Inside Out. We're looking at how to master the habits that really matter the most. We've learned some principles because this is week four. And we've kind of built week in and week out, and we've added a principle. And let's just review for just a moment. Some of this, it's on your note sheets, right? And in week one, we looked at a spiritual who. Who do you want to become? Because God created you, He didn't make any mistakes or any junk. Who do you want to become? Who does God want you to become? And then we said, if you're going to become who God wants you to be, you've got to have a spiritual why. Because it's not just behavior modification, because we've all tried behavior modification, but the bad habits, we return to our other behavior, because it's got to be spiritually driven. So we've got to have a spiritual why. So why I want to become the way God wants, because He created me. And I want to satisfy Him. I want to worship Him with this one body that I've given. And so the reason I want to get in shape is not to look good in a bikini or a bathing suit or a Speedo on beach day, but because this body that I have is a temple of God and I don't want to trash it. So we have a spiritual who, a spiritual why. Last week we said you also need a spiritual what. And what we said is based on who you want to become, what's one habit, what's just one habit, let's start small, that you need to start that will lead you to become the person that you want to be and God wants you to be. So today, we're going to take another step, and we're going to talk about a spiritual whatnot. Spiritual whatnot, based on who I want to become, based on who God wants me to become. What's one habit that I need to stop? What's one habit that I need to break? You can fill that in if you're taking notes. Based on who you want to become, what one habit do you need to break? What one habit do you need to break? Based on who you want to become, based on who God wants you to become, what is something that you need to break that you realize it's a step in the wrong direction? It's a habit that's not going to help you become who God wants you to be. It actually hinders you from becoming who God wants you to be. So what about that? For some of you, you've had a habit, and you say, I got a bunch of them. Let's just pick one, right? You've had a habit that's been hindering you for years of who you want to become, of who God wants you to become. You said, I've had a financial problem my whole life, and you still have it. Maybe it's weight for you. Maybe it's relational driven for you, but you've had this one habit. You're like, man, I want to be closer to my family. But you've got habits that are standing in the way of you doing that, so you're not really making progress. Notice James chapter 1, verse 21. I love this. He says, so get rid of every filthy habit. Some of you are like, then what do I do? What he's saying is don't entertain these habits that you know are not getting you to where God wants you to be and where you want to be. At some point, you got to draw a line and you say, I can't tolerate this anymore. I've got to stop this. And he goes on and says, and all the wicked conduct. Well, how do you do it? He goes on. We submit to God, to His authority, to His presence, to His power. Notice it says, we submit to God and we accept the word that He plants in our heart. You can't have spiritual transformation without putting God's word in. You can't. You're just going to base your habits on the world's ways if you don't know God's ways, and you can't know God's ways without knowing God's word. So you got to put that in. We submit to God. We accept the word that He plants in our heart. He can't plant it in your heart if you're not opening up, which is able to save you. It's able to transform you. God says we get transformed by the renewing of our mind, which means I get to decide what I put in my mind. And if I'm putting world stuff in my mind, I get world's ways. If I put God's word in and I follow it, I get God's ways. It's got to change our mind. We got to change our habits. We got to change what we're focused on. I want you to be specific. Based on who you want to become, what habit, one habit do you need to break? And if you're taking notes, fill this in. You cannot defeat what you do not define. You can't defeat what you don't define. You've got to define, what is it that I'm doing that's the bad habit? What is it that I'm doing that's keeping me from becoming who God wants me to be? I've got to be able to define that before I can break that, right? For some people, again, right, it'd be their diets, what you eat or what you don't eat. Be specific. Okay, I'm going to cut out sweets. I'm going to cut out sugar. I'm going to cut out chips and ice cream. Some of you are saying, can we wait till after the game tonight? Can I start tomorrow? No more fast food. For some of you, it might be, you know what, you need to cut down on your digital media, how much time you're spending on a device. What's a habit that you need to break? Could be a substance issue that you've relied on to numb your pain, to change your focus for a period of time. And one day turns into a week and turns into a month, which turns into years over time. And you've had this struggle for years and years and years, and it's holding you back from who God wants you to become and who you want to even become. And you get angry at yourself and you can't believe it, and so you just do this cycle over and over and over. Some of you had persons in your family, people that are close to you, try to tell you that, and you just kind of write them off. But can I just tell you, if you've had a couple of people or two or three people that love you say, hey, what about? Then it's probably time you own that. You say, yeah, I really need some help with that. Some of you have a habit of being critical. You need to break that habit. Some of you have, honestly, you have this wonderful ability to gossip. And you just put people around you to listen, and you guys just kind of gossip together. And you tear people down together. That's a habit that needs to be broke, because that's not God-honoring, right? Maybe you've got a complaining heart. There's a lot to complain about. But is it helping you become who God wants you to be? Or is it driving you further away because that's not God-honoring activities? Based on who you want to become, what's one habit that you need to break? If you're taking notes, fill this in. I want to talk to you about why good habits are difficult to start. Have you noticed they are? You got all these great ideas, but good habits are hard to start. And bad habits are difficult to break. So why is that? If you're taking notes, why are good habits hard to start? Because the pain is now and the payoff comes later. That's why good habits are hard to stop. They really are. Because the pain is now. Like you say, I want to lose 20 pounds. Good, jump on your treadmill. Start walking every day. Well, that's painful. I ache. I got muscles that ache. My feet ache. My chest burns, right? The pain is now, and the payoff comes later. And you're like, holy cow, I did that for 30 minutes, and I weighed, and I weighed the same. Heck with this. I tried it for 3 days, and I'm still where I was. That's why good habits are hard to start. You know why bad habits are difficult to break? Because the payoff is now, and the pain comes later. You know why it's hard to break a bad habit? Because the payoff is now. You know what? Yeah, I'll stop eating junk food tomorrow because today's a game. The pain comes later when you realize your pants are getting tighter. The doctor says your cholesterol is still bad. But isn't it amazing when you try to eat right or you try to exercise right? A week seems like you've been doing it for 6 months. But yet when you get off of doing things like that, you can go 6 months eating junk food and it feels like I just remember working out yesterday. We're funny people, aren't we? But we're normal. And God knows the power of habits. And the devil wants us to become less and less of who God wants us to be. And so nobody plans on messing up their life, but we take step after step after step, which develops habit after habit after habit, and we slowly get robbed of what God wants us to have. How many of you, be honest, because you're in church. How many of you, if the truth were known, you spend too much time on your phone or on a tablet or on a computer? How many of you feel kind of bad about that at times? You're like, man, I spend too much time. Those of you that didn't raise your hand yet, but you do, I'm going to make you feel bad in a minute. Did you know the average person spends just under 4 hours a day on their phone or their tablet? That's average. Some of you would say, whew, I'm better than average. Some of you would say, I'm above average. Some of you have those phones or those tablets that tell you each week how many hours you've spent, and you're going, no, that can't be right. There's no way I spent that much time. I'm not going to go into all this math. I'm going to jump a little bit just for time's sake, but I did that. Think about this. If you spend, on average, 4 hours a day on your phone times 365 days, that's 14,060 hours a year staring at a screen. Staring at a screen, 14,060 hours. If, let's say, you start at 15, some of you are way above average on that. Some of us are like, we didn't even have those at 15. But let's say you're average and you start at age 15 and you do the average 4 hours a day each year and you live to be 75. You can say that's a lot of hours. Can I tell you out of 75 years how much of your life you'd have stared at a screen? And I'm not talking 4 hours a day. I'm talking out of 75 years. You do the math at 4 hours a day for 75 years. You'll have spent 10 years of your life, 24 hours a day, 10 years of your life, out of 75, staring at a screen. And you know what I know about you, because I've been there too? Then you stand over a casket of somebody that you love, and you wish for one more day to spend with that person, but you gave 10 years of your life staring at a screen. Isn't that crazy? Nobody plans on messing up their life. We just do it one step at a time, one habit at a time, one wrong step, one thing that's not, it's not even wrong. It's not even a bad thing, but accumulated over time, does it help us become more of what we want and spend time with the people that we say we love? Or does it slowly, slowly, slowly trickle and rob us of who God wants us to become, based on who you want to become? What's one habit, let's just start there, that you need to break? Last week, if you were here, we talked about the power of habits. We talked about, based on who you want to become, what's one good habit that you can start? We said we need to make it easy. We need to make it obvious. Today, we're going to flip that. How do you break a bad habit? That's going to be more difficult. If you remember that little diagram, it looks like that. It's on your note sheets as well. Everything starts with a cue. So we said you have to have a cue of how to start a good habit, but to break a habit, you got to remove the cue. You got to remove the cue to break a bad habit. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked. Do you get this? Don't even set foot on the path of the wicked, because one step turns into two, which turns into many. Ask Samson. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of the evildoers. Don't even get close, because it's going to hurt your relationship with God. It's going to keep you away from what he wants. Look at verse 15. This is how direct Solomon is. Avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. You got to remove the cue. If Solomon could redo his life, he'd say, listen, that's what I should have done. I shouldn't have. I shouldn't have taken the one step, much less the 25 miles of steps that I took. It just happened to be one after another. We got to break the cycle. We got to break a bad habit. You got to remove the cue. You got to look at yourself and say, hey, what's a cue for me? What is it that tends to get me to go that way? I want to share with you five of the most common cues, because we're just human beings. So if you're taking notes, here's one of the cues. Places. That's a cue. Whenever I go to this certain place, I happen to be triggered to do this certain activity that I don't want to do again. Can I just be your friend at the factory? If you know when you go to that place or that kind of a place, this typically happens, which you don't want, Can I just tell you, don't go to the place. Right? I mean, this isn't rocket science, but you got to remove the cue. The second thing that we often do that's a cue is time. Times. There are certain times of the day when you're more vulnerable to do the activity that you want to break. You can't get rid of the time. You got to do something else with the time. You got to stop that cue. You got to remove the cue and say, listen, when I start feeling this way at this time, I'm going to do this instead of that because I don't want to keep going there. Make sense? Another cue is moods. You ever notice that when you're in certain moods, you do certain things? Man, I had a really bad day. I feel like just eating ice cream all night. And you do. This was a really good day. I'm going to go out to eat, celebrate. Listen, you got to remove the cue when you're in that mood. You know what the cue is. You tend to do this because we're creatures of habit, but I've got to remove the cue. I'm going to purposely do something else because I got to stop that. And then there's moments. There's moments where you might do the wrong thing. You know what those moments are. And when you feel that moment coming on, when you're in that moment, you've got to remove the cue. You've got to keep in mind, who do I want to become? And based on that, I'm not going there again. Because when I go there, when I'm in that moment, I know where it leads me and I don't want to go there anymore. So I've got to remove the cue. And then people. Have you noticed when you're around certain people, you do certain things that you don't when you're around other people? Don't say remove the people. No, that's not what I'm saying. Remove yourself from those people. Don't spend time with those people and go to that place because you know what happens when you do that, and it's happened over and over and over, and you don't want to be that anymore. Think about Samson again. Do you know Samson didn't sleep with this prostitute in his hometown? You get that? He didn't. He took 56,250 steps to find the prostitute. He wasn't going to do that in his home. You say, gee whiz, man, how does that apply to me? You know what I've noticed? And this may not be totally true, but you tend to do the wrong things in certain environments, and you're willing to travel to those environments to do the certain thing because you know why you're going to do the same, right? If you say, you know what, let me tell you where you probably don't even overeat. At the gym. You probably don't overeat at the gym, so if you don't want to overeat, maybe you should go to the gym, which kind of helps you in two ways, right? You say, you know what, if I don't, most people, listen, they don't get high at church. I mean, right? You get high in a certain environment or in a certain mood or a certain location with certain people, so you stop. I mean, I might be fooled. People are like, are you kidding me? I do it. Anyway, whole different story. You got to remove the cue. What's one habit that you need to break based on who you want to become? The kind of dad you want to be, the kind of mom you want to be, the kind of husband you want to be, the kind of mother do you want to be, the father, the grandfather, the employee, the boss, the whatever it is. What is it? What is it? You know what they found? They did a study. I found this interesting. There's way more to it than what I can share today, but they tracked 12,000 people. That's a lot of people to track. And they tracked these same 12,000 people for 32 years. That's a lot of tracking. And you know what they found at the end of this? That if you're overweight and you hang around with overweight people, you have a 57% chance to be overweight if you have a friend that's overweight and you spend time with those friends. We're like the people we hang out with is what they really determined. If you don't want to be like them, then don't hang out with them so much because the statistics prove over 32 years that you're going to be most like the people that you hang around. So if you don't like the marriages of the people that you hang around, I suggest not spending so much time with those people that have those marriages. If you want a strong marriage, a wise person would hang out with people that have a strong marriage. You didn't realize I was this smart, did you? Listen, isn't this common sense? Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Again, I remind you often, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Walk with the wise, and guess what? You'll become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. My mama was smarter, and I gave her credit. She used to tell me, you're known by the company you keep. Mom, they do that. I don't do that. Then why do you want to hang around with them? We got to remove the cue. The second thing, matter of fact, you probably should put a star in front of this next one because I messed up and put a bullet and I really wanted a star. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to interrupt the action. We're going to interrupt the action. You got to remove the cue, but you got to interrupt the action. You have something that you're trying to stop, right? Because we all have habits that where you say, ooh, that's not getting me where I want to go. So I want to get up and start my day reading God's word, but I have a tendency, my habit is, I hit the snooze 5 times. And then I get frustrated because now I don't have time to read God's word. And so one day turns into a week and turns into weeks and weeks and weeks and years and years and years. And so, listen, I've got to interrupt the action. I got to interrupt the action. So if you're really serious, you know how you interrupt that action? You move your alarm clock to the other side of the room. If you use your phone, don't set your phone right next to your bed. Put it on a table somewhere else across the room. And then when your alarm goes off, guess what? You got to get up and go shut your alarm off, and by then you're already up. Might as well go read God's word like you planned on, right? You know how you tell you're serious enough about that? Is you'll do it. And if you're like, oh, that makes sense. Oh, I ain't doing that. Like, it's cold when I get out of bed in the morning, right? So what do you want to stop, and are you serious about doing that? And no one plans on messing up their life. And that's not the biggest disaster in the world, but it leads to places that we don't want to be. And we want to become who God wants me to be, so I need to change some things, so I have to remove the cue, and I got to interrupt the action. For those of you, because we've talked about it before, some of you do spending therapy, which may be why you struggle some financially. Maybe you don't even, you got plenty of money and you can spend, but that you don't really think that's a good thing, because you're running out of places to store stuff that you clicked and bought on Amazon. So if you're serious, you know what you can do? You can set up a password and give it to a friend, and the only way you can click and buy is you have to call your friend and say, hey, can I click and buy this? And then they might have a conversation. Do you really need a 14th pair of those same boots? And you say, well, probably not. And then you don't click and buy. If you're serious, you can put things to interrupt your action is what I'm saying. And you know you, and so you have to decide what those are. Which brings us to a great question for people with common sense. Why resist a temptation in the future if you have the power to eliminate it today? I mean, seriously, why would I resist a temptation in the future, continue to battle with something maybe I've battled with for years and years and years, if I have the ability to eliminate that today? Like, wouldn't it make sense if I had the ability to eliminate it today that I wouldn't have to wrestle with it for over and over and over again, that I would just do that? And for some of you, it could be almost that simple. Remove a cue, interrupt the action, but can I just pause for just a minute and talk to some of you that have tried and tried and tried and tried and tried what you're hung up on? And you don't seem to have the ability to remove the cue or to interrupt the action. You've got an addiction that, quite honestly, you may need to take yourself out of the game for a bit and get some focused help with what you're struggling with so you can finally get some real traction and work to getting that totally behind you. Some people think it's a weakness to ask for help. I want you to understand it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength, and it's a sign of wisdom to say I need help beyond myself. I wrestled with that for a long time. The habits that you have today, fill this in, will shape who you will become tomorrow. I can, and you can, be a pretty good predictor of where your life is going if you look at the current habits that you're doing. Your relationship with God is based on habits. Based on the habits that you have with a quiet time as a priority. opening God's word as a priority, praying daily as a priority, worshiping God on the first day of the week together is a habit. You show me your habits, I'll show you where your life's going. You show me your habits as a married couple, what you do day in and out, I will show you where your marriage is heading. You show me what you're doing day in and day out, habits with your health, I'll show you with some accuracy where you're, now there's twists and turns with our health, right? But I mean, you know what I'm saying? With your weight, with taking care of your body, you show me as a husband and wife your habits together, I'll show you where your marriage is going. You show me what you're doing with habits with your kids over time, I'll tell you where that's headed. Not because I'm so great, but because we're taking steps somewhere. Those habits, those steps, they lead somewhere. Ask Samson. 56,250 steps to walk 25 miles to be with a prostitute. With all that being said, can I tell you something? You're not what you did. According to God, you're not what you did. Matter of fact, according to God, you're not even who you are right now. What you're doing is not just how God, oh, you're doing that, so God hates you. No. No matter where you've been, no matter where you are currently, God loves you. He has a plan for you. He gave his son's life for you. That's how valuable you are to God. He came for people that have bad habits because he came for sinful people. That's you and that's me. He came for the broken. He didn't come for the healthy. He said the healthy don't need a doctor. He came for the sick. And can I just tell you, we're all sick. We're just sick at different levels. They're sick, they're sicker, and they're sickerer. And we're all of those. He came for people like me, and he came for people like you. And he died in our place. He took the punishment that you and I deserve so he could offer us the peace that he deserved for his perfection. That's amazing. There's no habit. Hear this? There's no habit too great for God's grace. His power is made perfect in your weakness. His power is made perfect through Jesus Christ. And greater and stronger is the grace and love of God in your life than the wrong desires in you. There's hope for all of us. And the truth of the matter is, no matter where you're at, with God's grace, you can overcome. You can overcome with his power. You can overcome. For some of you, today's the day that you're going to have enough insight to this and be tired of where you've been, and you're going to draw a line in the sand. Some of you will not only draw a line in the sand, you're going to mark it down somewhere that today, on this day, January 28th, 2024, I drew a line in the sand, and in the presence of God, I made a conscious decision by faith and in my heart that I will not walk on that same path another day. I'm going to remove the cue. I'm going to interrupt some actions. That's a habit that I'm going to break. I'm committed to breaking this, and I'm putting things in place to break this because I am sick and tired of not being who God wants me to be. I've walked too many steps down this road, whatever this road is for you, so today's the day. Today's my day. Today is the day that I break that habit that's keeping me from becoming who I want to be and who God wants me to be. Today's that day. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would do a work in every heart and every life that's in this room, that is watching from wherever they're watching online today, that's beyond our ability to comprehend. That God, there's a us part in this, but there's certainly a God part. Because if determination or willpower or behavior modification could do what we're talking about, we would have already got it done. Because many of us have tried over and over and over and over. As you're praying, if you have something in your life, something that you recognize it. It popped in your head as soon as I started talking about habits that you want to break, because you've got some, but if you had to put one at the top of your list, you know what it is, that one that you'd like to break. Would you just in the quietness of your own heart right now say, God, here's the habit that I want to break, and you name it. He already knows. But there's some power in you admitting that you know. And then saying, God, I've tried it on my own. You know I've tried. I've tried many, many ways. But God, today I recognize it's not just behavior modification, it's spiritual transformation. So I'm not just asking to do it. I'm asking you to give me the grace and the power to do it. And I'm willing to do my part. I'm willing to remove the cue, because when I go to a certain place or I'm in that certain mood and I tend to go that way and with those people in those moments, God, I've got to remove those cues and I've got to interrupt the action. God, I do want to spend time with you in the morning, but I've got to quit hitting the alarm, snooze, so I'm going to move the alarm. God, you know what I struggle with when I'm in a bad mood, that I tend to drink away my sorrows. I'm not going to that place. I'm not buying that anymore. And for those of you that might need help with that, you say, today's the day. Tomorrow, I call. I'm going to get some help. I'm tired of walking this path. And nobody plans on messing up their life. But 56,250 steps later, Samson ran his life off in a ditch. Lost his eyesight, lost his hair, lost his strength. Ended up losing his life. God, help us. If you're here today or you're watching online, you've never given your life to Christ, can I tell you there's one habit you can't break, and that is you're a sinner, and you can't take care of your sin problem. Only God can through his son, Jesus. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't do good your way there. That's why God sent Jesus, because we couldn't get to God on our own. Because once you're guilty of one sin, you're guilty of not being perfect, which means you're disqualified for heaven. And the only one who qualifies for heaven is the one who came, born as a baby, lived his whole life without committing any sin. He was crucified and 3 days later defeated death so that whoever would believe in him, trust in Jesus, the one way, the only way to heaven. God would give credit for Jesus' perfection for that person, because Jesus has already paid for your imperfection. Religion can't get you to heaven. Being good, you can't be good. You're not perfect. Jesus is the only way. If you've never given your heart and life to Jesus by faith, right where you're at, make this your prayer. Say, God, I never really understood that. I've been trying on my own to be good in your sight, and I realized that I can't. So today I turn from doing things my way, and Jesus, I turn to you, and I turn by faith, ask you to come into my heart. Save me, forgive me, give me a brand new life. Give me purpose in life that you created me for. Give me the strength and the grace to do what I can't do without you. I need spiritual transformation. So Jesus, I received as a gift eternal life that you offer me through your son. And from this day forward, I want to live for you. I want to love you like you love me. And I want to become the person that you created me to be. We say thanks. We give you all the praise in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. And everybody said, amen.